So let's launch into it, and the first set of questions are basically background, just to get me a sense of what your overall, where you were coming from, coming to work for the EPA.
Coming to work for the EPA. So I'm 63 now.
Oh, okay. You can just, follow along.
Yeah. White, 63, female. I got my PhD from Brown in 82, and then did a postdoc at Johns Hopkins in the history of medicine. Mm-hmm. And then taught just for a year as a visiting assistant professor at the University of Maryland, College Park. And then history jobs were so hard to get.
Yeah.
And so I looked around, I did other things. So, but I guess before a PhD, I have a bachelor's from Georgetown, where I had a degree in foreign service.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was interesting. It was interdisciplinary, but at that stage, I didn't feel called to go into foreign service. So I actually went to Brown first in economics, then drifted into economic history, and then went sort of into the history of science with Hunter Dupree, who was my dissertation advisor up mm-hmm. there. So I don't know. Is that the kind of
Yes, that's things, exactly the kind of thing. Because I was going to ask, what was your PhD in, and you just... answer it.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get, what part of the academy did you get your degree?
Yeah, in history. So we, I have a PhD in history, but Dupree taught, history of science, and so he was my advisor. So.
Right.
And it turned out to be a pretty amazingly good preparation for coming to work at the agency. It was kind of surprising how well it worked. I mean, for a year I worked as a consultant in D.C. I got a job as a management consultant at Arthur Andersen. And so came in as a journeyman kind of person, just learning about, business consulting, trying to see whether that was a possible fit. I needed the money,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't sure what else I wanted to do, but at that year there convinced me that I either, that I should shoot for kind of a public policy kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
And through my contacts at Hopkins, and because I had, my focus was on Alice Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I never thought it would transfer to, working at the agency. I looked around at jobs in D.C. I looked at the Library of Congress. I looked at the Congressional Research Service. And then I applied for a job as a regulation writer at EPA. And so I came here in May of 85.
Regulation writer.
Sure.
I mean, I'll ask more about what that means. Could you just tell me about, how that job search went and what your expectations were going, and why did you choose EPA of these other?
Oh, I was interested in public health. I was interested, uh-huh. I have a sort of a timeline.
Oh,
I was interested in public health. I was interested in public health and medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I was really interested in how people, mostly because of the Hamilton work, and it's such a pleasure to talk to somebody like you in this context, how people, bring different kinds of information to help address an environmental issue. So how does technical information get combined with other information and turned into policy? And I never was a public policy graduate. I never took any of those courses. The poli-sci courses I took at Georgetown and the international studies
uh-huh.
degree I did really didn't transfer very well to this. But so I know other people came in with a lot more, technical training and, policy analysis than I did. But I was comfortable with studying technical issues and understanding them quickly, and I thought I would have something to offer EPA, putting the policy and the science and the social context together. And I came and I worked in the Office of Toxic Substances, which is now part of the Office of Pollution Prevention and Toxics.
Okay.
And so under the, you know, to implement the Toxic Substances Control Act of 1975. So TSCA had a new chemical program that they're still shaking out, and they're trying to figure out how to regulate existing chemicals, the ones that weren't new to commerce.
Right.
There's different kinds of regulatory authorities and processes for regulating existing chemicals that are were already out in commerce. But any new chemical that was introduced to commerce that's intended for commercial purpose outside of food, outside of pesticides, but anything else falls under TSCA. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of interesting issues. So I came in kind of really as a journeyman status, and you know, I did this.
What year was that again?
75.
75 you came into.
Is that right? 85.
85 into EPA.
Yeah. So, oh, I thought I had fixed this last column bleeds off a little bit. I don't know. Took the presidential.
Cool.
So it's in reverse chron order. So if you go to the last page.
Right.
So I thought this was sort of what you're looking at.
That's
for.
Right. Exactly.
So yeah, I worked. This is after the Gorsuch era.
Right.
And and I wasn't with the agency when Ruckelshaus had sort of resuscitated the
right.
agency, but there was people were still reeling when I came in 85. they're still reeling, and people. There was a lot of enthusiasm. There was a lot of esprit de corps. We had good managers, actually. I mean, it was still, you know, Reagan era, but you did have the sense that the agency had tripped up because had been so embarrassed and science had been so disgraced. But under in Gorsuch, that these managers were really trying to do the right thing, as far as I could tell. That was my sense coming in. And it was an interesting place to work, the Office of Toxic Substances and that authority, TSCA, because of the multidisciplinary focus, because it's a, you know, risk-benefit statute, so you need the risk mm-hmm. assessors on the one hand, and then you need the economic analysis, and you have to do this weighing process, you know. That's what you, you know, do the risks exceed the benefits of
right.
regulation. And it in some ways it's multimedia, what we say in
okay.
the agency. So, you know, you're not like in the air office or in the water office. When I first came in, everything was very segregated, but in Office of Toxic Substances, it was the question is, what's the risk? What's the risk to public health and the environment? You know, so you had to look both at the health and eco side, and you had to look at exposures, no matter what media it went into, the water, land, so, you know, air, whatever. And you had to, really, if you're, you know, on a regulatory team, you had to get people from all these different scientific disciplines together, the exposure analysts who specialize in these different media and the health people and the eco people. So it had, you know, it was in some ways it was a very the TSCA, as you may know, you know, has a lot of limitations as a statute, you know, and very difficult to regulate existing chemicals, and I and others, you know, bashed our heads against the wall trying to, with asbestos ban and phase out, you know,
mm-hmm.
We were frustrated, you know, these.
That was in the later 80s, right?
Yeah, that was later 80s. So,
yeah.
So there were particular things you could and couldn't do with TSCA, and in some ways, TSCA was a great vision, but it was very hard to implement. And my job was to work on different policy matters, you know, how about chemicals that were in the research phase, you know, in industry? And when does the research phase end? And companies have to reveal to the agency all the information that's in their possession. Well, you know, but they don't have to do new health and safety research. It's not like a pesticide program where there's, you know, requirements for a new pesticide to do health and safety studies. But on the other hand, for these other, under TSCA, you, if there's information in the possession of these companies that relate to health and safety, have to provide it. But how does that operate in the research phase? So I worked on a variety of...
That is chemicals that are being researched for possible
use in commerce.
In commerce.
Yeah. So so I worked on that, and I worked on genetic... My big project there was on genetically modified microorganisms, which are chemical substances under TSCA.
Oh. And, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So... microorganisms that are engineered to make a product, you know, could be a food product, or it could be a you know, cosmetic product, or it could be for breaking down hazardous waste. Those are regulated substances under TSCA. So what kinds of genetic engineering are would trigger the TSCA review? So it was exciting. It was exciting to be in on this new stuff, you know, these new technical issues. They were important, you know. And so I came into EPA knowing that it is difficult, actually, to implement a really meaningful, and it's difficult to do good.
Yeah.
And to implement a regulation that'll do more good than harm, it takes a lot of people putting their heads together in an honest way. And I knew I didn't have all the answers, but I was good at bringing people together to talk about them, these kinds of things. So
so what you say you were, I think at the initially a regulation rider.
Right.
And so is this, are we talking about what stage of sort of rulemaking,
The
rules?
Writing rules and managing the rulemaking process within
and
the agency.
Managing the whole, all the way through, or were you just a portion of it? Or what?
Yeah, I mean, I've done different things. I think I had some little biotech rules with my name on it.
Huh.
But I was part of a team that was doing this right. Biotech rule. And there's one big biotech rule that came out, and you know, and I was part of that team. I don't know. I don't think I was the lead analyst on that.
But this team would be. It would be mostly all EPA employees.
Yeah,
or?
I mean, the lead was the Office of Toxic Substances. This is the way most of the rulemaking works.
Okay.
There's a the part of the agency that has the authority for the regulation. Proposes a regulate, you know, develops the concept for this regulation, or there's a statutory trigger, or something prompts you to do it, and you have to get approval from your own office director and your own AA ship, you know, if you know what that means.
Yeah.
And then there's an agency.
Administrative is one of the upper level.
Administrator assistant ships.
Right. Assistant administrator.
That's, yeah. Right. Yeah. So So right now there's a slightly different agency-wide regulatory process, but it's not so different from what, you know, I did my real journeyman work with. Basically, there's a regulatory development process where the different parts of the agency who are interested in this because they're affected by it, it sets a precedent for them. You're required by statute to perhaps to coordinate with them. So obviously, the Office of Research and Development, if it's a science-y kind of rule, the Office of General Counsel, because they have to make sure the law. You'll have lawyers who are in your own AA ship, but OGC has to sign off on it because they have to defend it. And then you have the policy office, who's interested in the overall impact of your regulation on the whole agency and consistency, and they're the interface with the Office of Management and Budget.
Ah, yeah.
So anyway, so you come in and you manage the process. You get the work groups together, you run the work group meetings, you write the minutes for the work group meetings, you develop the draft rules, you circulate them. You revise them, you work, you know, you get them to the stage where everybody can live with it, you've got something you can live with, you go to the senior management meetings, so there's management buy-in and understanding of the technical issues that arise up from your team, and then you, as a project lead, you understand what the managers are worried about, you know. And then so you have this rule, and then you write it so it would be, you know, you'll write it so it's proposed, published in the Federal Register, you know, you do all those things, you stay up all night, you get a, all that stuff.
Meeting those deadlines, you get this and that,
Yeah, and then you get the public comments, and you read them, and you make a compilation, you do your response to comments, and then you have to kind of, there's this really interesting art, you have to craft the regulation so it includes all the options that you would include in a final rule. So you have to actually think about, you know, what is your plan A, and then what are your, you know, possible alternative plans. So the public gets to comment on your alternatives too.
Alternatives in case.
In case your what you proposed in the rule, you know, you say I'm going to.
I want to do this, but if this doesn't work for you guys, then we'll do this.
Yeah, another option may be such and such. The pros on that are this. The cons on that are that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And the other people who have to buy off on this are the enforcement people. Who, you know, who's the officer?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They have to be on your team, so it has to be enforceable.
Right.
So. And then the other thing you have to do before it's published, sorry, I should have mentioned this, you have to work as part of your team with your economists, and they have to do a, you know, under certain statutes like TSCA, that you have to do a risk-benefit, you know, analysis.
Okay.
So they have to analyze, you know, the scientists are giving you the risks, the economists are talking about the benefits to society and the costs, you know, the costs of regulation and other costs. And so they have this regulatory analysis, you know, in the form of a risk-benefit analysis. So that is part of the rulemaking package, too. So people get to comment on that. And so then you know, you stew over all that stuff, and then you revise the regulation, and
it make everybody happy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know that the success at EPA is, you know, maybe never making everyone happy, having you know, enough people on both sides mad at you.
Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah.
So
what kind of, okay? So we're talking. Really the last part of the Reagan administration.
Yeah.
And I guess, are we still talking also into the Bush 1 administration?
No, let me look here. No, you know,
Would you make a division there? I mean, in terms of how that process was, I mean, the questions I guess I have for that are, you know, the kinds of support outside your own office for what you were doing. And then, you know, things like role of science,
yeah,
and scientists as well as the political influence.
Well, you know, for the first 15 years I was at the agency, I moved around quite a lot. So I spent about 3 years in the Office of Toxic Substances, and then I moved over to the pesticide program.
Oh, okay, that's right, you said,
And so I was there into the Bush administration, and then I went on and I did some other things in the Bush administration. But I was really drawn into this kind of science vortex having to do with risk assessment. Before I came to EPA, the National Academy of Sciences had published the Red Book on risk assessment. And so the agency was, because it had a lot of risk-related statutes, it had, you know, TSCA, and then it had, the pesticide program has a, it's sort of funny, a benefit-cost analysis, and the benefit is the risk, and the cost is the cost to the pesticide registrants. So it's sort of...
Industry.
So is that right? I'm not sure I got that right. I have to maybe look at my notes here, but the key piece of that was what are the risks that are going to be averted by this pesticide regulation, whether it's registration or re-registration or special review, what are the risks? And so I went to the pesticide program and I worked on kind of the big ticket pesticides that had been on the books for a while. There had been the FIFRA 88 statute amendments to FIFRA, which said that existing pesticides had to be regulated with the same stringency as new pesticides. You couldn't have existing pesticides kind of benefit from just sheerly existing out there in the market. They had to, registrants had to go out and demonstrate that they were demonstrate that they weren't causing harm to human health and the environment. So I got swept up into all the technical issues surrounding pesticide re-registration. So I was a special assistant in the division that dealt with special review and re-registration. And the sense I had there, as well as in the Office of Toxic Substances, was that there was a really strong interest in science. The acting administrator for a while was Jack Moore, and he was a John Moore, and I guess that's on the second page. Mm-hmm. And he was also a deputy administrator, I think, before or afterwards. He had a PhD in veterinary toxicology, and he was an esteemed toxicologist. So he was the manager who got kind of swept up in the whole ALR debates.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of respect for Jack Moore decisions, that Jack Moore made that affected your program. You understood them. Whether I was in the Office of Toxic Substances or whether I was in the pesticide program, I'm sure there are some things that happened behind closed doors, but for the